What's up, guys? This is the Dirt Bike Channel podcast. And you know what? We're going to do something pretty awesome today, because today we're going to the first ever Monday Morning Mechanic episode. And I have two extremely special guests. What is the Monday Morning Mechanic episode? Karen, my wife, I want to bring you in. What is Monday Morning Mechanic, and what are we doing this podcast for?
You know, I don't know. I just got roped into this. So, you know, that's where I'm at. I think we're just going to be talking about Supercross, because that's what I love.
Case is one of my sons. Case, what are we doing in here? What are we talking about today?
We're talking about who we think's going to win the championship, and we're talking about who won last night and who's going to win the championship.
That's pretty good. So to give you a little context, this is Kyle Brotherson with Dirt Bike Channel. I've got my beautiful wife, Karen Brotherson, here. Say hello, Karen.
Hello, everyone.
And I've got Case here. Case is my 9-year-old Supercross fan. So that's what this is about. This is a Supercross episode. So I get it. You guys are going like, what's going on here? Dirt Bike Channel is supposed to be off-road. And it is. Like, I do off-road riding, you know, off-road / enduro riding or whatever. But we also, as a family, really, really, really love to watch Supercross. Right, Karen?
Absolutely.
So what we want to do is just kind of do a Monday Morning Mechanic type thing of just like, hey, here's what we noticed while we were watching Supercross on Saturday night. Or sometimes we have to watch it on Sunday because we got crazy lives. And so we'll like DVR it or whatever and then watch it on Sunday. And we thought it would be kind of fun if we just talked about what we saw during the race and who we thought did well, who we thought choked, you know, did I just say that out loud?
Yes, who, you did.
I didn't finish it.
Everyone knows what you're going to say.
Anyway, so we just wanted to have a little bit of fun with it. And we might bring some of the other kids in later, you know, in the thing. Case, we're sitting around the dinner table tonight, Sunday night, and Case is like, I want to do it. Right, Case?
Yep.
He's like, I want to tell him who's going to win the championship. And I'm going, I don't want to say who's going to win the championship because I have no idea. But maybe Karen's got it all figured out.
I do have a few ideas, but, you know. Maybe that's for next episode.
we want to wait until episode 2 before we give our championship predictions.
No, but in all honesty, though, we really do love Supercross as a family. It's one of our go-to activities on Saturday. And, you know, a couple of times, we've spent our anniversary in San Diego because, you know, I like it as well. So we spent an anniversary trip, just Kyle and I. And one time we took the kids on in the February in San Diego, and that was fun.
Yeah, that was super fun. We've gone down to Petco Park a couple of times and done that, and so we're big Supercross fans. When did we start really? I started watching Supercross kind of in like 2014, 2015-ish. I don't know, maybe even 2013. I can't remember, but I was just watching it kind of on YouTube, and then we got more interested in as a family. And so, Karen, tell me what it was like for you to kind of start watching it. How did you start to grow as a fan of Supercross?
Well, that's a tricky question to answer, because I think it was about a year after you started watching it. Sorry, I have something stuck in my throat. I don't know. We just had it on the TV and I just found myself watching it. And I'm not a dirt bike gal per se, but I do love watching Supercross. And so, in full disclosure, throughout this Monday Morning Mechanic business, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know what my vote is on stuff and my outsider perspective.
Well, and I think that kind of is awesome, because we don't know a ton about racing, but we just know what we watch on TV and we read some articles here and there, but we're just kind of casual/ fans. But we're actually, I think we're a little bit more than casual fans, because yeah, we know
we drop money to go to see these things in person.
And Karen knows all the racers' names and she knows their numbers. I mean, like, they change a little bit.
I know
from
their
year to
wives
year.
And their kids' names. And
yeah, you follow them on Instagram. Like, you've got, you follow Dungy and you follow who else?
Lindsay Dungy and Marvin Muscan and Matil.
And who and Ken Roczen.
Ken
you follow.
Roczen, Cooper Webb.
Coop Webb. You don't follow Tomac?
I do not follow Tomac.
You do not follow Tomac. Who else do you follow? Do you follow Chad Reed? Remember, Karen, maybe you could tell us the time that Chad Reed almost killed you.
Oh, my Lanta.
That was a good story, right?
Is that for today?
People
are going to be like, what are they doing?
It's the inaugural episode. We might as well, like, you know, put a little, you know, little sizzle out there.
All
like
right.
when Chad Reed nearly killed my wife.
Pregnant wife. I was like, I want to say 8.5 months pregnant. Very large with child. And we were at the Salt Lake Supercross, and we were in the back. What is it called?
In the pits.
We were in the pits. And I had a couple of kids with me, and we were right by where the riders would pass us to go in for some qualifying rounds. And I was standing there, and then Chad Reed comes ripping around 22 and just, you know, rips around, and he doesn't see where he's supposed to go, but he sees where I'm at.
And he's got his mechanic on the bike
and
too.
He's got the mechanic on the back.
And he's late
and he's hauling. And he comes straight for me, and I'm up against a wall, a fence line, and I have the kids. So I put the kids behind me, and he comes within maybe, I don't know, 10 inches from hitting me with the front of his bike. Oh, yeah, it was a little scary. I thought I was going to go into labor right then and there, but I didn't.
Yeah, because what was happening is we were just watching the riders go into qualifying, and so we were standing by the gate, and the kids were giving high fives to people like Dungy and whoever else was coming by. I can't remember. Maybe Dungy was done by then. I can't remember. But we were giving high fives to all these different riders coming in, and then Chad was late. And so, like, everyone was done going past us, and we were giving high fives to everyone, and then he was just booking, and he thought the gate was on one side, and then he realized at the last second it was at the he was going the wrong way, and like literally almost took Karen out with the kids. So Chad times. If you're listening to that, you haven't apologized to us formally for doing that,
but he does not need to apologize. And did you see the big 22
CR22
on the field
Last night at A1, yeah. Right?
So our son Connor, who's 11, he pointed out that there was a big 22 written in the dirt over by the sand section. And it took us a couple of rounds to see it, but it was ginormous. And I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, because this is like the whole farewell tour for Chad Reed, CR22, right? We've had kind of a little bit of a up and down love-hate relationship with Chad. You can't scratch the mic on your shirt, bud. That will hear in the podcast. So it's okay. I didn't have a mic stand for Case, so he's just holding his mic, but you can't scratch it on your shirt. Okay, buddy. Okay, cool. Anyway, so yeah, so we just wanted to have some fun with this podcast. We're going to try and do it every week. We might not get to it because we got a family of four kids and everything. The baby is up there sleeping right now. So sometimes she might barge in. You might hear some interesting things on this podcast, but we're just going to talk about the fun that we have as a family watching Supercross. It's essentially what it is, right, Karen?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so fun little stories. We're going to try to get to a couple of races this year. We're going to definitely go to Salt Lake because they're coming to Salt Lake for the finale, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. Super awesome. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to just share some stories and just kind of what we thought on the races and everything. So A1, it's the first race of the year, right? It just wrapped up last night, and we want to talk about some of the things that happened. So maybe we'll start just a couple things on the 250 West, the 250 West Regional Main. So number one, who finished number one last night? It was Justin Cooper, right? And he's on that Yamaha team. Any thoughts about how Justin Cooper ran last night, or did it surprise you that Dylan Ferrandis, you know, and Christian Craig were kind of back there, or any thoughts, you guys?
For me, I like Dylan Ferrandis. I think he's awesome, and I was sad that I know.
Karen's got a thing for the Frenchman.
I do. Marv. I love Marv. Okay, so Dylan, you know, he had a couple of bobbles here and there, but I was actually rooting for Christian Craig. I thought it could have been his night. But Case here, he is a fan of Cooper. You want to talk about that, buddy?
Yeah, I like
Justin Cooper.
Yeah, Justin Cooper, because I just like how he rides. He just comes in the night and you don't suspect him to win, and then he just wins it, and he's just awesome.
But last night was actually his first win ever.
It was?
It was his first win in a main event. He's won heat races, I believe, but last night was his first main event win because he raced last year on the East Coast with AF, Austin Faulkner, and Faulkner kept working him. And then Faulkner last night, he had a little bit of a harder time. Faulkner's coming back from an ACL injury, I think, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I think he tore his ACL last year at the end of the year, and then he lost the championship, and it went to I can't remember who won it on the East. Dylan Ferrandis won it on the West. Anyway, but yeah, it was fun to watch, and we will talk a little bit of 250 stuff. 250, my favorite moment of all of Supercross for all of all of all time was actually in the 250. It was in 2017. I think it was 2017. Yeah, 2017 or 2018, whenever it was that Zach Osborne comes into that championship there with, he's got like an 8-point lead, and Joey Savacci is kind of tailing him 8 points behind him, and then Osborne gets basically piled up in the first corner, right? And he gets up on the bike, he's like dead last, and he's got to pass
Joey Savacci. You're welcome.
Joey Savacci. He's got to pass over Joey Savacci. And so Joey Savacci is supposed to be riding up to the front because Joey had done that all year. And Joey Savacci should have been in first place, second place, or third place. But I think Savacci was back in like sixth or something. And so Osborne just goes blasting through the pack, and he's just picking people off. And you know how much passion he rides with. And then all of a sudden, there he is. He's like two corners from the end and coming through the whoops or wherever it was. Osborne sees Joey Savacci on that left-hander, and Zach Osborne just brings it in and literally tears Joey Savacci right off the motorcycle.
And we were there at that race.
No, we weren't. We were watching it at home. We were watching it at home.
Oh man, I don't know. I lost my voice screaming so loud.
Oh my gosh, because like we're fans of Zach Osborne. He's kind of had a harder road to go, and he's a family man, and he's got kids, and he's got a wife, and all these things, and things haven't come easy for him, and he's had to bust his butt, blood, sweat, and tears. And I'm not saying he's a saint or anything. I could kind of relate to his story. And then he sees everything unraveling before his eyes, but he still puts his head down and he still goes, and he goes hard in that race. And then there's Joey Savacci. And I like Joey Savacci never should have been there. Joey Savacci should have been done with the race by that time, but he was running basically his worst race of that season. Savacci was opening the door for Zach Osborne. And then Zach Osborne is just like, dude, this is it.
And to go from last place to winning the championship right then.
All he had to do was pass that guy. It was like, yeah, he had to pass Joey Savacci. And if he finishes in front of Joey Savacci, he wins the championship.
And then to see him afterwards, just break down crying. I thought that was so tender. It made me cry.
Just bawling uncontrollably, yeah, with his mechanic there and his wife. And it was just, that is the most, it hit me harder than any other thing in sports ever. I saw they did a special on it just the other day, and I was bawling. And I came in and I was telling Karen about it, and I'm just crying. Just reliving it, just because it's such raw emotion. You got to hold that up higher, buddy. You can't just click it around. It's such raw emotion. It was amazing. So we will talk some 250 stuff because there's some awesome racing happening there. And the cool thing about the 250 rank is usually those guys have a little bit more of personality, right? Karen, have you noticed how, like, once they get into the 450, it's like your emotions and your personalities just kind of like are suppressed, and they just kind of go down. Have you noticed that?
How they go down?
Just how they start suppressing their emotions, and everything is just so businesslike and so robotic.
Yeah, you know? I never really thought about that. But yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk some more 250 stuff. Tonight we don't have a ton. It was nice to see Justin Cooper to get his first win there ahead of Dylan Ferrandis, who did then win that championship last year in the West because Adam Ciancerillo crashed in Vegas last year and his bike was all messed up, and so that opened the door for Dylan Ferrandis, and he won that championship. So moving up though to the 450 class, let's talk a little bit about that. That's what Karen's talking about. So so what were your overall thoughts of Justin Barcia last night? Because Justin Barcia got
He won. And in past, for me personally, I've not been a big Barcia fan. Maybe just the whole Bam Bam reputation that he's got going on. I just didn't really love that because that's not my personality. Yeah, but listening to his, you know, interviews and after the race, I did kind of see into who he was a little bit, and it was nicer to see him. And I was really glad that he just put his head down and he won it 2 years in a row, and I thought that was really neat too.
Case, what did you think of Bam Bam's performance last night?
Well, I thought it was pretty cool because I wasn't suspecting him to win. I was expecting like Adam or Cooper or Tomac to win, because I was not suspecting him to win at all, because last year he was like not close to winning the championship, So, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool last year to see him win A1, and then he comes back and backs it up and wins A1. I don't think he won again last year. I think he only won the first round. It's been fun to kind of see him kind of grow up a little bit. And that's one of my favorite things about watching Supercross is just watching these people grow up before your eyes.
Kind of evolve, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They mature and they grow into their bodies.
That's exactly it. And that's one of the things that I love about it is because these are just young men. When you first start seeing them, they're anywhere from like 16 to 19. And when you first start to kind of see them in the 250s and then coming in the 450s and everything, and they're not all the way there, right?
Well, you know, like Adam Ciancerillo or even Cooper Webb, how, you know, we watched them in the 250s and to me, they seemed kind of almost punkish. Am I allowed to talk like this?
Yeah. It's a family show, Karen.
I'm going to get some haters. I know.
Just don't.
But
just don't
I have loved, you know, watching Adam grow and he's so funny. Like he's funny in interviews and I love listening to any interview he's got. And the same for Cooper Webb. I watched a little show on him about how he grew up on the East Coast and, you know, being with his dad out on the ocean and surfing. And I just thought that was so neat to just kind of hear a backstory that was just different than the rest. And I don't know. So I love both of them, but I have loved watching them kind of mature and grow up and, you know, show who they really are as a person.
Yeah, I think that's one of the funnest parts to me is just watching him grow up and watching him evolve. And some of the time that means I like him more and some of them it means I like him less, which I'll talk about tonight. Or today on the podcast. So Justin Barsha, I remember like in 2014, I went to my first Supercross race up in Salt Lake City at Rice-Eccles Stadium. And after the race, I saw him on his Geico Honda just like ripping around like with his mechanic. And it was just like party boy, you know? And he was just hair flapping around and party boy and everything. And now he's grown up a little bit. He's still he's still got the hair and he still, you know, looks like a surfer kid, but he's growing up a little bit. And it's fun to notice that. Adam Ciancerillo, like you mentioned, that kid had so much pressure put on him because he had all the success in the amateur ranks and everything. And, you know, he kind of had a cocky attitude and whatever, but he's grown into his body. His body was too big for him for a long time. And now he's kind of like a young man for legit. He's like 6'1", so he's a lot bigger than some of these other riders. But he's a refreshing guy because he actually still has a personality and still isn't afraid to like show it. Like you mentioned in like post-race interviews, and he doesn't take himself too seriously. And the thing that I liked the most about him last year at the end of the season when he threw it all away, he throws that championship away, but he still rides through, you know, with the bike and finishes as much as he could. And then, of course, he's not on the podium, so he doesn't have an interview. He goes out to the pits, right? And then, you know, the reporter snuck out there, stuck a camera and stuck a mic in his face.
Yeah.
And remember that?
I do.
And he's like, dude, I feel like a failure, but I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go back to work.
Put my boots on.
Yeah, put my boots on. And that was, you could literally see him grow up because we'd been seeing these interviews with him here and there over the last years. And then you're like, that isn't a kid anymore.
Yeah.
That kid just like experienced defeat. Like he was so close to this goal and then he experiences this defeat.
There's something to be said though for being humble and just owning when you make a mistake, you know, rather than blaming other people or, you know, putting that on someone else. I love hearing that from anyone saying, you know, oh, that was on me. I made that mistake.
Yeah.
And just owning it. I love that.
Well, and what else was cool is that night, Cooper Webb wraps up his championship in the 450. Oh, and somebody made a comment. One in the press corps said like, hey, you know, and they made the comparison. And Cooper Webb, being the cocky kid that he is and whatever, and we'll get to that. But Cooper Webb said, oh, Adam cracked and I didn't. It was kind of like a shot across the bow. And then the response from Adam Ciancerillo of saying like, well, and Adam just like, no, he's right. I cracked. And so Adam just handled it.
Instead of getting mad or, you know, kind of fighting back.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with watching Adam grow up, you know, super, super cool. So it was fun to see him and he almost won last night.
Yeah.
He almost got, he did his first 450 race at the Monster Energy Cup a couple months ago, and he wins it, right? Beats Tomac out, beats his teammate out, and so he wins that, gets $100,000. And then last night he was there. He was Bam Bam, you know, has a great race, and he's leading, and then Justin Barsha kind of throws it away, and and goes off the track. And here comes Adam C. and Cirillo around that, what was it, a left-hander? And then Barcia comes like ripping back up onto the track, like right at AC. Almost takes him out, right?
Swoops it back.
But he's not able to take it. And so Adam then goes off and leads several more laps. And then what happened, Case? Like Adam is leading and what happened? Justin Barcia is right behind him. Then what happens?
And then in the same turn, Adam like made a big mistake and then Barcia passed him. And yeah.
Yeah, I think it was maybe the same rhythm lane or like the next rhythm lane or something. And then, you know, so Barcia didn't give up. And that's another thing I love about these things. It's like, don't give up. You know, there's a lot of lessons that you can take from these riders, and some of them are really good role models, right, Karen? I mean, they're not all, but some of them are actually really good role models.
Yeah. Ryan Dungey being our number one role model in our family.
Yeah. So people could complain about him or this, that, and the other about, you know, whatever, but he was he was/is, at least publicly from what we've seen, a pretty dang good role model.
Yeah.
And same thing with a lot of the guys, which I'll get to later. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, so it was fun to see Adam have a good night last night. He almost got the win. Cooper Webb with a third when he was like sick as a dog.
Yeah, he sounded awful.
He looked awful. Yeah. And he qualified like 14th or 15th.
And then he came in third.
What does that tell you about Cooper Webb?
Just determination. You know, and he's done that before where he won't qualify as high. And then he'll come in and win in past races. But, you know, just to see him so sick and just, you know, that's what they do. That's what they have to do because that's their job. And so, and he owned it. And it was really nice to see him just plunge through, even though he was so sick.
Yeah. One of the things we forget about is these are million-dollar athletes. Not all of them, but at the higher level, these are million-dollar guys. And they take it seriously. And even though he was super sick and super under the weather, he goes out there and instead of, you know, coming in 14th, 15th, he put the hammer down and he worked himself up to third, which was pretty cool to see. It was also fun to see Cooper just in this 250 career. You know, a few years ago, he was one of our favorites in the 250 career because he just rode so exciting when he was on that 250 Yamaha. And he wouldn't get the best starts and then he would just like come through the pack and just pass people. And then he goes into the 450 rank and he has 2 years where he sucks on that Yamaha, right?
Yeah.
But then everything comes together because Case, last year when he moved over to KTM, where did he start training? Where did Cooper Webb start training?
Didn't he start training with Alden Baker,
yeah. He went to the Baker factory because he moved on to the KTM team and he was scared. He even said that in interviews. He was scared. He was worried that he didn't have what it
takes.
Yeah, or that he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so he was honest and open with the team manager, Roger DeCoster and Ian Harrison and even Alden Baker saying, I'm not sure because I've cut corners in the past. But they saw something in him and what amazing transformation. No one expected Cooper Webb last year to take the title.
One thing about Cooper Webb is when I see that he doesn't like qualify that good, I'm just like, I don't care because I know that he normally does a lot better than in qualifying. He like comes out and like wins it.
That's another, like Ken Roczen, we'll get to him in just a second, but you cannot go off Ken Roczen's qualifying times because there are some people that just race better than they qualify. And then there are other people that qualify better than they race. It's a weird phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, so Blake Baggett gets fourth. That was awesome to see because I don't think Blake Baggett has ever done really that well in the opening rounds. He's usually like anywhere from 12th to 15th.
We call him BB4 around here.
BB4, yeah. he's the El Chupacabra, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's got that ranch and he's got a new little baby boy. I think it's Breaker is his name or something. And his wife's name is Kaylee. I just learned that today because I was watching some stuff. I've got a daughter named Kaylee, although she... Kaylee Baggett spells it way different than Kaylee Brotherson, but it's kind of fun to see his riding evolve. And some of these guys start having kids and stuff, it kind of changes their perspective a bit. I know it has for Osborne and it has for Baggett and it has for Chad Reed and some of these other guys, and you get to see him in a different light and it's kind of cool.
The boys have met Blake Baggett a couple of times. Do you want to talk about that, Case?
So one of my friends, Tyson, he took us to like a place where we could see like Blake Baggett and some other guys, and we went to like Rocky Mountain ATV somewhere and we saw Blake Baggett and we took a picture together.
Yeah, that's super cool. Blake seems like a really down-to-earth guy. So Jason Anderson, he came in fifth. Jason kind of had a quiet race. I think he's ready to start really mixing it up again after winning the championship in 2018. And then basically in 2019, he only has like a couple of races and then he gets injured. I think he's ready to kind of just mix it up again and prove to people that he's still good. Cause a lot of people, I think, have counted him out, yeah. You know,
he is still good.
Yeah. He's still good. So I think Jason will do some good things. Ken Roczen finished sixth. Ken Roczen is one of those ones where it's exactly what I was talking about. I love to see the evolution. Because Ken Roczen, I felt like, from my perspective, when we first started paying attention to it, he was this punk kid from Germany, and I didn't like him at all.
And he got in the way of Dungey.
He was one of my least favorite riders, you know. And he was like mixing it up with Dungey, the guy that we kind of gravitated towards, and I didn't like him at all. And then what has happened is we've seen him get humbled. And we've seen him grow up, and we've seen him purposely assimilate as like a U.S. citizen and be like, look, I'm this German kid that always wanted to come to America, this German-American kid. I wanted to talk like Americans. I wanted to be in America. And then we've seen him go through nasty injury. I mean, he's got a couple of motocross championships, and he never changed his number down to a single digit. He could have a single digit number if he wants it, but he's like, I'm staying with the 94. And here's a dude who's gone. He almost lost his arm. His arm got broken so bad that a few years ago, he had like what, 12 surgeries on it?
And cadaver parts and stuff put in.
Yeah. And there were so many different complications that it was so infected and different things. There were points where some of the doctors were going to amputate his arm from like the elbow. That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
And he just had the determination and the fire inside of him and the belief. Will. Yeah. The will and the belief in himself that, you know what? You're not going to cut my arm off, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to race at the highest level.
And he did.
And then the next year, he has another thing. He gets in that mix up in Supercross down at San Diego in probably 2018-ish when we were there at Petco Park.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets in a mix up with Cooper Webb at that time when Cooper Webb was sucking on that Yamaha. And he goes into that, you know, Cooper Webb takes him and passes him on a right-hander and then Roczen goes to take him on the very next corner,
yeah,
right in front of us in Petco Park, and they get tangled up, and Roczen's arm goes ripping up in there, up into you know the wheel,
yeah,
you know, and there's his season again, like broke something in his hand. It was unbelievable, but all the injuries that he has had, and then he's able to come back, and like ride at the highest level. He hasn't had a win yet. He had it so close last year in Arlington when we were at Arlington 2019 and he was leading. Ken Roczen was leading the race and we were all pulling for him. We're like, look, he's gonna finally get that victory. And then Cooper Webb guts it out and comes down, has the best like whoop section in his entire life and makes that right hander barely and just barely beats Ken Roczen, steals it from him like a couple hundredths of a second, right?
Yeah.
And we were there and we're cheering because we're like, that's fun for
I lost my voice that night too.
It's fun for Cooper Webb, but at the same time we were so bummed for Ken Roczen because it was like, how deflating was that?
Oh man.
It got ripped away from him at the very last.
Our daughter Kaylee, that's who she's rooting for this whole season, is Ken boy. She wants Kenny Roczen to win.
Well, and I think if I'm dead honest, that's who I would like to see not only get his first win, but I would like to see Ken Roczen be able to knock this out because he's never knocked out a Supercross championship. And the window for him and Eli Tomac, who we'll talk about next, that window is shrinking and getting tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
Because they're getting more towards the end of their primes. And if it doesn't happen this year for Ken or Eli, it may not ever. So that's pretty crazy. So Ken Roczen, we're pulling for him. We want to see him. I've gone a complete 180 on him. If I'm talking about Karl Malone, I did a complete 360. Karl Malone did a complete 360. No.
Different sport, Kyle. Different sport.
No. So Ken Roczen, I've done a complete 180 on him. Now he's one of my favorite riders in the sport, and I just want to see him do well. So what do you think of Ken Roczen, Case?
Well, I like him, and I used to not like him just like we all did. But now I really love him.
Yeah, why? Why do you think you like him so much now?
Well, I just like his personality, and I just like how he races. Like, yeah, he's just really cool.
He's got a smooth style, right? Very smooth.
Yeah.
looks good on that Honda, HRC Honda. So then Eli Tomac here. Eli Tomac comes in seventh. That is that dude, Eli, buddy. Here's another person I've done a 180 on. I was a huge Eli Tomac fan. And then there have been a couple of things that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years that have just kind of brought me down on him. And I really do want to see him get the monkey off his back. He has like 25 wins or something in the 450s.
27, maybe.
He has more wins than all the other people combined, with, I mean, the exception of Chad Reed. But everyone else that he's racing against, he has more wins than all of them combined, I'm pretty sure. I don't have that stat in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he does. And he doesn't have a championship. It's unbelievable. What's been his problem, Karen?
Well, first of all, he's a source of soreness in our home. We've been a house divided. So our son, Connor, who is 11, he's been a huge Eli Tomac fan. And, you know, anytime anyone else in the family would trash talk Eli, ET3, then, you know, Connor gets all sad and or mad at us. And so we have to try to watch what we say. But I think he's fallen off the bandwagon there, Connor boy has.
I think it's because of us. I think we've finally shamed him off of it.
I know.
Unfortunately, I need to stop doing that. But you, how many hours have you stood in line waiting for ET3's autograph, though?
Zero.
See, I thought you stood in line once for Connor.
I don't think so. No, we stood in a long line to get a T-shirt for Eli.
Oh.
Because it was Connor's birthday, just a couple of days away from one of the races. And so I stood in a long line to get an ET3 shirt.
But you drew the line at the autograph?
Yeah. Well, the line's too long. I'm like, if I'm not meeting Dungy, then I'm certainly not going to meet Eli Tomac.
Yeah, because we tried a few times. We waited in a number of lines and didn't get Dungy's autograph.
Case, what happened?
So they were counting like to 100 people, and then the people after 100 that didn't get counted, they had to like leave, and the 100 people could stay and get his autograph.
And yep. Where were we at in the line?
Like, I can't remember.
101.
That's happened to us twice.
They cut off the line for Dungy right in front of us two different times. And one time we were only like two people away from getting the autograph. And
he looked us right in the eye. This wasn't at a race. It was at a different, like a dealership. He was like looking at us in the eyes like, I'm sorry, but I have to go. They're pulling me out.
Yeah. And our kids almost started crying. I'm like, you guys, he's right there. We're going to get to meet him. And then mom spoke too soon. And yep. I've never lived that down.
We were the last. Well, we were the next people in line to get him, and then he had to leave.
Marvin Muscan and Matil took pity on us, and they Marv did sign something and got a picture with the kids, and that's when Karen's love affair with Marvin Muscan began, I think.
I would not call it a love affair, but I do value Marvin. He was so good to our kids, and so was Matil. I really appreciated that because they were so bummed to not meet Dungy, their hero, and but Marvin stepped up and made their day, so was good.
So back to Tomac, though,
because
that's how we started on this. I would like to see Tomac just get the monkey off his back. If he doesn't do it this year, I don't think it's ever going to happen. It's either this year or next year, or he's not going to be able to do it.
But if it's between him and, you know, Ken Roczen,
I'd go for Ken.
Ken Roczen every day of the week.
Yeah, at this point, I'd go for Ken. But what I'm saying is I don't wish anything bad on Eli Tomac. I feel like he doesn't have enough fun. I feel like he's just kind of going through the grind. Yeah, exactly. He always said with him and his dad, or his dad would say it, like, as soon as you're not having fun, we're done. And you heard that before? His dad say that?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, his dad has said that. And I'm sitting there going, dude, Eli hasn't had fun for years. This is just a grind. He's trying to get a goal. And that's fine. I respect it. I respect Eli Tomac. I just, you know, there's a few things. But I hope that he can kind of get the monkey off his back. It would be nice to see. Justin Brayton. We're not going to go through everybody. We'll just go through a few more people. Justin Brayton gets eighth. It was fun to see him kind of leading there on that Honda for a little bit.
Yeah.
Justin Brayton.
He does have good starts.
Oh, yeah. There are some people that just have the starts, and he's one of those guys. Yeah. Cooper Webb is good at starts. Justin Brayton is good at starts. Vince Freese, unbelievable at starts. You know what I mean?
What happened to Aaron Plessinger? Did he get hurt?
He got hurt.
He was limping.
He had to go through that LCQ. And then I don't even know what happened in the main because he got hurt in his heat.
He ended up as 12th.
And then he had to go through the LCQ. And so I don't know. But it was fun to see Brayton. It was fun a couple of years ago when Brayton won that Daytona, right? That was awesome.
Aaron Plessinger can't get a break.
Yeah, he can't. So Justin Brayton was eighth. Malcolm Stewart was ninth. It would be fun to see Malcolm break through and get a win. He's one of those guys with a ton of personality. We haven't met him before, but he's a fan favorite. Vince Freese was in 10th. Justin Hill in 11th. I hope Justin Hill has a better year. He was fun to watch in the 250s. Aaron Plessinger, we loved Aaron Plessinger when he was AP23, right?
Oh, that was our name for him. AP23.
On the Yamaha, because he was wearing that.
But now he's what, 7?
Yeah, AP7.
AP7 doesn't have the same ring.
No.
It's kind of lame.
It doesn't. Dean Wilson, he was 13th. It was good to see him out there. I don't know what's going on with him, if he's hurt or whatnot, if he's not 100%. I know my buddy Kevin Egbert bought a bike from him just like 2 days before the race or something, which was kind of fun to see. Kevin put that on his Instagram or Facebook or whatever, like his kid. So he puts his like young son on a motocross bike in the middle of a Target parking lot and with a stranger. And me and both me and Karen looked at that and we're like, well,
sweet.
If you're gonna put your kid on a bike with a stranger, better make sure it's a professional supercross athlete.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Stranger, no helmet in a Target parking lot somewhere.
In California. Yeah. It's funny.
So, I'm like, that's awesome.
Dean Wilson. Zach Osborne was there in 14th. He was sick and he was sicker than a dog and he crashed in qualifying, I think, and then he had a couple more problems in the race. Tough night for Zach, but Zach, I want to see him get a win. I would love to see him being up there in the championship hunt. He is, like I shared that story earlier, Zach is, he's a dude. I like Zach. Martin Davalos was 15th. I think this is his rookie season.
Is it Davalos? Because it's usually the second to last vowel.
Speaking of that, is it Plessinger or Plessinger?
I don't know. I toggle back and forth.
Plessinger?
Not going to lie.
Plessinger? And they do on TV. They don't
sometimes
know.
I kind of slur it together so no one knows which one I'm saying. Plessinger.
Plessinger. Plessinger. And Plessinger. That was why AP23 worked so well, is you didn't have to worry about Plessinger.
I know. We didn't have to say Plessinger. The G or not say the G. Someone anyway. Help us.
Davalos, though. Martin. Karen also has like a little bit of a crush on Martin Davalos. Or maybe not a crush. That's the wrong word.
That is so the wrong word.
What word would you use?
Just rooting for him.
But you like his name.
It always has to be a crush. I like Spanish. And so if there's a chance for me to speak any kind of Spanish, I'm all over it like syrup on a pancake.
How do you say Martin Davalos in Spanish?
Martin Davalos.
Why don't next week we have you come on as your alter personality?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll do that.
Okay. Because she has an alter personality where she it's Spanglish.
Sometimes I whip into my Spanish accent and I can't help myself.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing actually. I love it. So I think he pointed out of the 250s because he raced like 700 years in the 250s. And so they finally just said, look, Martin, you're turning 55 next year. You've got to go into the 450s.
I think Case wants to say something.
What do you got, Case?
Like, so Justin Barsha, we watched his show today and Justin Barsha, or maybe it was last night, but Justin Barsha said, like, didn't last year he win the first Supercross?
Yeah.
And this year he won it too. And last year he said that he was, like, not ready, so he didn't feel like he was going to win the championship. He felt like he wasn't ready at all. And then this year when he wins it the first time, he's like, I'm ready, and we hope that we're going to win the championship.
Yeah, and I think he's in a better place mentally. I don't think Justin Barsha is going to win the championship, but it would be cool to see him stay up there in the title hunt. Yeah, you know,
that would be fun.
So then wrapping up here, we've got Justin Bogle. He was in 16th. Don't know really what happened to him. Tyler Bowers was in 17th. The last person we're going to talk about is Chad Reed. He ended up in 18th. It was cool to see Chad Reed get the 250th start.
That was really neat.
That was cool. You've got to respect, whether you like him or not, because our kind of opinion of him has been up and down, but as his career is drug, and that's probably not the right word, but as it is drug on, you got to respect it. So he owns all these records, and you got to respect what he's done.
He's got determination,
you know,
motivation,
and the fact that he's still able to qualify, and he qualified, you know, whatever it was, and he gets into the race. He had to go through the LCQ because he got kind of locked up in that first corner, but that was kind of nice to see. Chad Reed get that 250th start. And then I, obviously 18th place isn't like the best in the world, but think about it. The dude's like 35, 36, I don't know, 37, somewhere in there. And he's still able to qualify something that 99.99999% of the planet has never been able to do. And here he is way past the time when everybody else would have retired 10 years after they would have retired, a lot of them. And he's still able to qualify and come in 18th, and I think he'll do better than that later in the year. I expect him to be hovering right around 10th place.
And to drive home in a super sick Lamborghini.
The Lambo. He has the Lambo in the pits, right?
That was awesome.
An orange Lamborghini.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was fun to see. So it's going to be fun the rest of the year. We're going to be interested to see what goes on with this. And we'll try to bring these podcasts out weekly, the Monday Morning Mechanic stuff. We might miss one here or there. We don't know. We got a family here, so it's hard to do. But I just wanted to thank Karen for coming on and Case for coming on with me. I have an amazing family that supports. Dirt Bike Channel would not be possible without the love and support of Karen, my wife. And so everything that I'm doing, that means she's got to do all the stuff on the back end. You know, we're an equal partnership, and Karen does every bit as much work as I do. We just focus on different things. She's, ever since we started having kids, she's been the homemaker, but she's so much more than that. She's the CEO of the household, and she does.
And the doctor and the taxi driver. All you moms out there know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're the chief everything officer. Not the chief, you're the chief everything officer, and I can't thank her enough for all the sacrifices that she does for our family. And for me. So thank you for doing that, Karen.
You're welcome.
Anyway, that's our Monday Morning Mechanic podcast. So hopefully you guys like this. You can share it with your friends. It's just kind of like fun, lighthearted stuff. We're going to continue to do more of this throughout the season. They may not all be 40 minutes long. We don't know. They might be.
Hopefully not, because you guys won't want to listen to us babble on all day.
It might be 10, 15, 20 minutes. We'll just go. We're just by the seat of our pants. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this. And any parting thoughts, Case?
Nope.
See you next week, yo.
That's all they got. Okay.
Single track.
Leave a single track, guys. Thanks.